We're beginning a new series here for the month of November. It's got to do with being forever grateful. We are going to deal with the concepts of Thanksgiving, and how many of you know there's a holiday this month coming up towards the end of the month? I think most of you know that turkey and dressing day, or if you're a vegan, maybe it's going to be for you broccoli and Brussels sprouts. I don't know, you know, but the idea, the concept of remembering and focusing upon how grateful we ought to be, how thankful we ought to be for what God has done. And that should not be just a one day a year thing, or even focusing just one month out of the year, that we should be forever grateful all the time. And we'll be addressing as we go through this series several topics under that umbrella of being grateful. We're going to start today with a very simple question. It might be one even that you might think is so shallow that it's even unnecessary for us to ask, but it's going to be foundational to everything else that we're going to consider over these next several weeks. What does it mean to be grateful? What does that even mean? Now, many synonyms, you know, come to mind, I think, when we talk about being grateful. And the one that comes to mind so often is the word thankful, but there are other words that are associated with it, being appreciative, being filled with feelings of gratitude, and then the feelings that kind of come out of that gratitude, out of that gratefulness as well. But you ever had one of those situations where you wanted to know what a word meant, and you looked it up in the dictionary, and you found maybe one or two words, and then you looked up those words, and the definition was the first word that you were trying to find out what the definition was? You ever found that? The kind of circular thing just goes round and round. You go, well, that was really helpful. I still don't know what the word means. But we think we grasp this, we get it. But sometimes to define the word means we really need to define or identify the idea, the concept with it, or we're going to miss the point. For instance, you know, I'll just take a real simple illustration here. Many of you know here, I drink coffee probably more than I should. I'm trying to watch, you know, drink more decaf in the evenings, but I drink a lot of coffee. So it's not uncommon for me to have a cup. Matter of fact, back in the years when I was directing youth camp in Northwestern Ohio, Christian youth camp, most people thought I had a permanent crook in my finger from carrying around a coffee cup everywhere that I went. And that was kind of even before they had the commuter cups, the cups we have now that are so neat with the lids on them and all that kind of thing. But I would always be carrying around a coffee cup. Maybe that's why I have arthritis that way now. But you know what? It still fits my coffee cup pretty well. So that's okay. But you know, if I were to have asked you, what is a cup? Or I were to say, you know what, I can't find my cup. Has anybody seen my cup? Now, you might have a lot of images come to your mind about, well, and what would you maybe next ask? Well, what's your cup look like? What kind of cup was it? What color was the cup? Because I have a lot of cups. Matter of fact, many of you might know, if you go to my office, I have a cup collection. And you know, I carry these around, you know, a lot because, again, they have that lid on there. But I have a cup collection. People have bought me cups. They go someplace. You ever get one of those T-shirts where somebody goes to visit and they come back and they say, I went here and I brought you this T-shirt. Well, people go and visit places and they bring me back cups. It's just something they do. I never asked them to do that. But like a lot of other things that are collected in my office like dust, I'm collecting cups. As a matter of fact, my sister Lori, my baby sister, brought me a new Beatles cup decorating a shelf in my office. I don't know that I'll actually drink from it. I probably should. Got to christen it somehow, don't you think? Probably should do that at least. But cups, you would say, well, what cup are you talking about, Steve? What kind? And if you went to my office, you'd find some other cups too. There's a cup from Scotland. It's actually called the Perth Tankard. That's what it is. Got little things on it from where we live. So that's a cup, a kind of a cup. You know, and then there's this cup also in my office. This is also from Scotland. We might not think of that as being a cup, but they use this, again, for a cup of blessing. It's something that they do traditionally. And many times when there were people who were together and they have long friendships and they were going to be separating, matter of fact, I think I might have shared this story, when we were leaving Scotland to return to the States after our tenure there, that they shared communion with us in a cup like this. And the idea was to drink all from the same cup. And it was like a cup of unity, too, in communion. So there are different kinds of cups. You guys have some little plastic cups, too. So if I just said use the word cup, you'd say, well, define cup. Well, what is it? You might say, well, it's a container. Okay, well, that's cool. Okay, but what kind of container? How was it made? What's its general purpose? What's it used for? It's all kinds of different cups. I'm just saying that because, you know what, sometimes we are trying to grasp this idea of gratefulness with ideas and concepts based upon our experience or what we've seen. And maybe that's not really the full concept of the idea. Matter of fact, have you ever been at a restaurant and the waitress brings you, or the waiter brings you a cup, and maybe you ordered a Diet Coke and the other one regular, but they set them down and they mix them up. And the cups look the same. But you go ahead and have a taste and say, well, that's not my cup. That's not mine. The contents, the taste is different. Or you get a cup of coffee and you sip it and, well, wait a minute, that's got sugar in it or some flavoring, or it doesn't have it, and so that's not mine. So a lot of times, even there, as you talk about the cup idea, when we talk about gratefulness, we're not talking about what it looks like on the outside so much as first, what's on the inside? What's there? Because God is looking there. He's looking there, and that's what being grateful is about. Now, there will be, and we're going to talk about this, other indications, visible indications of what gratefulness is, but it really is in here, isn't it? Gratefulness is not something you can see, though we will see the expressions of it. So what does it mean to be grateful? What does it really mean? Again, as I said, the dictionaries aren't necessarily always the best source, especially when you're talking about the origin of a word, the idea of it. They call it the etymology is what the origin of the word is about. The word grateful has to do with feelings of pleasure or satisfaction in its original meaning. It comes from the Latin gratis. Consider the idea of being gratified or having gratification. That same idea. And it's about being satisfied, having pleasure in us. But it's more than feeling. Matter of fact, my fourth graders in Kids Club, we were talking this past Tuesday about Daniel in the lion's den and how God rescued him by shutting up the mouths of the lions. And I was just asking them, well, how do you think Daniel felt after that? You know, and they said, oh, happy, full of joy. I'm sure he was glad. And then I said, well, how do you think he felt towards God? And the idea, well, thankful. Someone said grateful. And then we talked about the king who had actually placed him there, who had been pressured to do that, who really wanted him to be delivered. The king was grateful, thankful for that deliverance. So we were talking about that, and I knew what I was going to be speaking about it for this week. So I asked them to define what it means to be grateful. Let's hear what they had to say.
Landon, what do you think it means to be grateful?
To be good and nice to people and pray to God and do what He tells you to do and always trust in Him.
Very good. Very good. Ryan, you want to try? What do you think it means?
I think to be thankful. I think it means to be thankful and loving.
And loving, okay. So grateful, be grateful means thankful and loving. Very good, Orion. How about you, Aaliyah?
To be thankful and kind to each other and to love God and do everyone, to be nice, no bad guys, no anything, peaceful.
Be peaceful, cool. How about you, Amanda? Can you tell me?
And God says, don't bring weapons, and God loves everybody, and, He is kind to everybody, and people is kind together, and if they want to be friends, they can be friends.
Okay. So, what same thing we should say to God about that?
We, love God.
But you, Kyla, what do you think it means to be grateful?
Be grateful for what you have, because some people don't have as much stuff as you might have.
Very good. How about you, Abby?
To be nice to others, I give them, or you're trying to make them feel better when they're in the hospital.
Okay, that's very nice. What's your job? What do you think it means?
I think being grateful is being very nice to other people and being thankful for what you get.
Okay. What about you, Terrence?
Like if somebody's in the hospital that you know, you can give them a card to say get well, or if like somebody's sick, you can
it's kind of hard, isn't it? But you do something nice for them, huh? That make them feel better. That's good. Well, thank you guys for that.
Now, that's the kids trying to answer. And it wasn't like I just sprung it on them. I said, I want you to be thinking about that because this is what I want to do. Now, what was interesting is you saw some of the kids were struggling with that. How many of you would struggle with that if you're put on the spot and define that? But did you notice that every one of them seemed to be defining it based not upon feelings, but upon response to those feelings? Did you notice that? Matter of fact, the one little girl, she said, well, you know, God says don't bring weapons. And now I thought, okay, now there's probably a book, chapter, and verse that will support that, you know, kind of idea. But the idea of being peaceful, I think she was expanding upon what the girl, you know, said before her. But they were talking more about how gratefulness affects you and how that's expressed. And isn't that really how we tend to think of it most of the time as well? As expressions. And I thought it was interesting that in every case, and I didn't prompt them to do that, but they were referring to being nice, being kind to others, about loving God, loving others. I think Jesus said something about that, kind of sums everything up, didn't he? You know, about loving God and loving others. Maybe that is gratefulness. It's when we really understand what God has done for us and that we love God. And we love others. And it's seen as love for God and others. But it's more than just going through emotions. It's because it's motivated by this gratitude. Gratitude moves us to action. The Old Testament of our Bibles, I'm relatively sure that most of you at least know that it was written originally in Hebrew. And the New Testament, many years later, was written in Greek. And the words that are translated from Hebrew or Greek as grateful or thankful in our Bibles, in our English versions, aren't always the same words, okay, in their origin. And they sometimes carry some different meanings. So I'm just going to share a couple of those ideas with you. For instance, in the later translations of the New International Version, Psalm 147, verse 7 says, sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. It's used there as an adjective, okay, that describes the praise that they're supposed to be singing. The Hebrew word here means a joyful and open profession. So, yeah, joy is included in that. But the idea that, yes, if you're really grateful, there's some kind of a profession of that gratefulness. It does produce that within us. Hear me. Grateful people sing praise. They do. Now, it may not always be in tune. If you ever stood next to me or sat next to me in Sunday mornings, you know it may not always be in tune that those praises are coming out. And it may not always even be intended to be in tune according to some melody. Because singing praises to God isn't necessarily being accompanied by music or melodic in the way that we think about it. But it's once again proclaiming praises. So grateful people do that. They do that not just in an assembly, but they do that in their day-to-day lives. And once again, I'm not talking about them going around singing alto or soprano or bass or tenor as they're going about all their duties. I don't know what I sing. I was in the category of support in the choir years ago, you know, but I used to call it ten bass. I wasn't sure what it was, but I would sing in support. But we're not talking about that. What he's listening there, singing praises, is that idea of like singing God's praises. You would say, I sing their praises. You're just praising God, and you're doing it out loud and proud that you're doing it, that you're declaring your gratefulness for what God has done for you. You're declaring that in some way. See, if you're truly grateful, if that your heart is full of that gratitude, it's going to overflow. And not just when you're prompted, let's sing, but you're prompted by the gratitude and gratefulness and thankfulness that God has put into your heart. And then it'll overflow. It'll overflow. In the Waymore New Testament, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:30, he says, if so far as I'm concerned, I partake with a grateful heart, why am I to be found with fault in regard to a thing for which I give thanks? Now, in context, he's talking about the idea that if he is a guest at someone's house or he's with someone else and they prepared a meal and they brought it to him, just a common meal, that he is going to be thankful for it no matter what it is. And no matter where it's come from, because one of the concerns was is that what was being put on the table might have just been used as a sacrifice for an idol earlier. And now it's been brought and put before him. And there were people who were really concerned about that. I can't eat that. I can't touch. Anybody ever had somebody put something before you at a table that you weren't sure what it was or where it came from? And a little hard to be grateful. Woo. You know, a little hard to be grateful. But Paul is saying that we ought to be people who are grateful for whatever's put before us. Whatever it is. Thankful for it. And we're not always, are we? Oh, that again? Oh, that? Oh, I don't like that. I don't care for that much. Always. But be grateful for whatever to receive with thanksgiving. Because we're grateful that God has provided. We sang earlier, great is thy faithfulness. And then we said, everything thy hand hath provided. Do you believe that? Do you recognize that's from God's hand? And if you do, then you'll be grateful to him and to those who have prepared and provided it. But, you know, I've had the good pleasure of dining with most, if not all of you folks at one time or another. It could have been a restaurant, could have been your home, could have been our home, could have been at a potluck here, could have been our lunch that we had before our Wednesday study, it could have been, but most of you, if not all of you, I've had the pleasure of dining with. Not once, though, have I ever heard any of you say, well, I got to take that back, my good friend Lynn Williams is here, and he might say it as kind of a little almost teasing way, but I've never heard any of the rest of you say, well, let's partake. Now let's partake of our dinner. But we say that sometimes in church, kind of a church word, we take about now we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper. But Paul was talking about a common meal. And so I've never heard you really guys use that word partake, but I have heard you say grace or ask me to say grace. And what's that really about? It's expressing thanks, isn't it? Gratitude, gratefulness for what God has provided. So we're to partake with grateful hearts. And once again, I don't think we are always, I got to call on that, I'm not always as grateful as I ought to be in recognizing this is provided by God. This is a blessing from God. This is that daily bread God has promised. And so often, it's so much more than daily bread, isn't it? We're getting more than we deserve, certainly, and more than we need. The root of the Greek word here is charito. We get the word Eucharist from this. Ever heard that word, Eucharist? Many churches refer to the communion, see, as the Eucharist, don't they? And I believe they do that because in the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 10, Paul refers to the communion as a cup of thanksgiving. That's verse 16 of chapter 10. See, as a cup of thanksgiving. I think just like we might sit down many times and partake of a common meal without truly being grateful for what God has given to us, we too often take the Lord's Supper without recognizing that's a cup of thanksgiving for what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, what Jesus did for us on the cross. We might have a lot of different feelings when we partake of the communion. It might be feelings of somberness, maybe even a little tear eyes. We think about what Jesus went through for us. But Paul calls it a cup of thanksgiving. Yes, and there's remembrance. We're thankful as we remember what God did for us in Jesus, what he did for us. So I hope and pray that you were grateful as you took communion today. And if you weren't, you should be. In the ESV, the English Standard Version, the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 to 29 declares that we should be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. He goes on to say, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. The Greek term here is similar to the previous one. It's the word charis, from which we get the word charisma. That's kind of interesting. Be grateful. Have charisma. Do you ever notice that when someone is grateful, that they're attractive? Even magnetic. There's something about that gratefulness. You want to be around them. You're drawn to them. You ever notice that? And if somebody's sour and dour and pessimistic and complaining and not so attractive, right? Not so attractive. But gratefulness will produce within us this charisma, because that's what it is. God's children ought to be the most grateful people on this planet. Amen? Ought to be. And sometimes we don't come across that way. We're full of stuff, all right, but it's not gratitude. Full of despair sometimes. And we can be the most pessimistic and worrisome and anxious people instead of being grateful. And then we wonder sometimes why people aren't drawn to the community of believers. Now, after all I've said here, you might think, well, hey, what, you claim to be some kind of a linguist or something? Are you some kind of a language expert? No. But I'm going to offer you a definition of the word grateful based upon what I've shared with you, what the scripture seems to be saying, what we've talked about. I believe, biblically speaking, to be grateful is to be full of feelings of joyful satisfaction, which will overflow into expressions of praise for the one who has blessed us. And that's a mouthful. But I really do believe that's it. That to be full of feelings of joyful satisfaction, remember the root, that the gratis, that idea, it's got to do with, I'm satisfied. I am satisfied. I am blessed. I am fulfilled. And because of that, I'm overflowing now with expressions of praise. But people can go through motions and it never be out of a heart of gratitude or gratefulness. But if you're truly grateful, believe me, it will show. Well, where are you going to get that gratefulness from? Let God be the one who fills us with the knowledge of every blessing that He's given us, and let that, again, produce the gratitude. It's not something you can muster up. You don't think, I'm just going to be grateful. I'm going to, you know, tell you guys, go out now, go be grateful. You're going to be grateful. Whether you like to or not, you got to be grateful. It doesn't work that way, does it? Maybe as a parent, you know, you told one of your children as they sat down at a meal that they were turning their nose up to, now you just eat it and be thankful. There are people in Biafra starving to death. Now you just be grateful. Doesn't really produce gratefulness, does it, within you? But yet, when you communicate how grateful you are and give the praise to God, give the acknowledgement to God for what He has blessed you with, maybe you'll have the attitude more of the young lady, Kyla, who said, I think it's being thankful and realizing that you've got a lot more than a lot of other people have. That's more than that, but it can start there, can it? It really can. So overflowing expressions that are coming from a heart that's filled with joyful satisfaction for what God has done. God the Father has blessed us richly. And again, if you're a Christ follower, I shouldn't have to remind you of that fact. Shouldn't have to, but it seems like it's one of the things that we're called to do as pastors, as ministers, we're called to do even in the community service, is sometimes just remind people, because we tend to be so forgetful. So I want to just close with the words of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians, as a reminder of why gratefulness should be in our hearts and overflow. If you want to use your pew Bibles, it's on page 1817. Ephesians 1, I'll begin in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in
in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he's freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. We put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even
Christ. That's for verse 10. Again, that very first verse of that. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I don't know if you picked up on it, if you were following along reading, or if you were just listening. But a couple of times in that reading, it says it's according to God's good pleasure. Now remember, we started off with the idea of gratefulness within us is produced, it's a feeling of pleasure. Think about this a minute. When we recognize what God has done for us and we are full of gratitude, we're grateful, God is grateful. It's according to his good pleasure that he's done this. It gives him pleasure. It satisfies him. It fulfills him. It makes him full of gratitude when his children express gratitude and have gratefulness in their heart. It does that. It's according to his good pleasure that he does this. And when we receive it, and when we recognize it, and we return the praise to him, God the Father's grateful. Why? Well, why wouldn't he be? Think about it. As parents, aren't you grateful when your kids learn to appreciate what you've done for them? Doesn't it produce gratefulness within you? Of course it does. Doesn't it bring you satisfaction, fulfillment, and joy? Yes, it does. And it brings that to our Father's heart as well. Now, maybe you're a person today who's here and saying, well, I hear you, and I get that, and I know that's the way it's supposed to be, and the way it should be, but it's not the way it is. Because my heart is not full of gratitude, it's full of bitterness, worry, anxiety, anger, sorrow, heartache, and there's no room for gratefulness right now. So I'm just going to tell you, be grateful. No. I'm going to tell you that there's a God who loves you. And he knows that in your state of ingratitude because of what's going on in your life or what you're missing out on in life because of what hardships you're going through, you're not alone. He doesn't want to leave you alone. He wants to flush out all of that impurity and bitterness, hurt and pain and anger and resentment. Fill you. Fill you with his love, with his mercy, with his grace, and the knowledge of what Christ has done for you. And in the process of that, guess what? Gratefulness is what it is.